Missy is 89.1 WEMU, and what a week it has been in Washington. President Biden, in his first week in office, has signed 22 different new executive orders. There were at least another 18 rescinding Trump administration policies. That's far more than his predecessors. The Senate has set its rules, and the second impeachment trial of former President Trump will begin next month. And there's more, of course. I'm David Fair, and to garner some perspective from inside the U.S. House, we're joined on the WEMU phone line by the Democratic congressional representative from Michigan's 12th District. Debbie Dingell, it's good to be with you again.
Good morning, David. It's good to be with you.
Just by chance, do you have any stock in GameStop?
No, I do. I don't know what my stock is, but I did call my broker to make sure I didn't have any.
Now, obviously, this is going to be a point of contention in how this plays out. Are you a part of any prospective hearing or legislation that may take place as a result of what we see happening?
I have talked to members of it's Maxine Waters Committee that will take the direct lead on it. Our committee has got some issues, but trust me, you will see hearings on both the House and Senate side that must get into this and address it.
We
are playing with fire when you watch what's happening on Wall Street, and we cannot afford to have people's savings further hurt by the gains of billionaires playing games on Wall Street.
And again, they're saying that this could be the next kind of housing bubble that caused the last recession.
That's correct.
Before we talk about specific executive orders, I do want to discuss the sheer number. When Barack Obama was president, Donald Trump often tweeted about the dangers of legislating through executive order, 226 of them through two terms of Obama. Then Trump went on to issue 220 of his own in one term. President Biden is on a pace all his own. I know you support most, if not all, of the orders, but are you concerned that it's too much?
I think that there was so much damage that was done and so many things that had to be stopped or had to be fixed at the beginning, like joining the World Health Organization, rejoining the Paris Climate Treaty Organization, stopping some of the mining that was going on federal lands until real legislation can be looked at, addressing some of the immediate COVID crises that we're seeing with the lack of vaccine. So that what his actions have been in these first, it seems like a lifetime, but it's been 8 days, 9 days, were to reverse any damage or to stop any further damage. Now it's time for the Congress to start to address these issues. We've got to codify in ways some of the actions that he has taken. And I don't think that executive actions are the way to go for the rest of his presidency, but I do think they were necessary to make some quick fast fixes that were really needed in a number of fronts. And now Congress has to do its job and legislate.
And as you've heard from your Republican colleagues, they believe the flurry of orders fly in the face of his call for unity and bipartisanship. What are the conversations you are having with your colleagues across the aisle?
I'm talking to my colleagues across the aisle every single day. And I think that media always loves to talk to people that, you know, absolutely don't want to work with each other. Look, I'm not going to lie to you, David. I don't think I have ever seen partisan rancor, but it's the fear. There is real fear among members of physical violence and danger, and I have never seen that. But on the other hand, you know, I'm part of one group of Democrats and Republicans, and I have a lot of Republican friends, as you know, and there's a group of Republican senators on Democrats, Republican and Democratic senators on the other side that are trying to work together. White House has been meeting with these groups, and I think people are trying to find a way to what are things that we can work together? How do we get a COVID bill done? I would like to see a COVID bill get done, but it may have to go through a reconciliation process for it to get done. But Republicans need to understand that they can't, and it's leadership more than anything, can't be a party that just blocks everything, that there are people that are really hurting in this country, and we can't play partisan games. So people are prepared if we have to go to a different parliamentary maneuver to do so. But I do believe, I know Joe Biden wants to unite this country, and if he can get Republicans and Democrats to act together, to work together, that's the way he wants to go, and that's the way I want to go.
We're talking with Congresswoman Debbie Dingell on 89.1 WEMU. One of the great divides between parties over the past several years has been health care, and among the orders issued by President Biden is one that aims to strengthen the Obama-era Affordable Care Act, expanding access to health care for seniors, people with disabilities, and Medicaid beneficiaries. Why executive order instead of legislation?
Well, you're going to see health care legislation down the road. The fact of the matter is that the pandemic has really hurt people. And people, you know, for many people, their health insurance is tied to their employment, and they've lost their job. They don't have access to health care. So what I think he's trying to do is to reopen up the market so people have the opportunity to buy a health care plan. And the other thing is that some people have been sold bills of goods, that the way that, you know, the way that the original Affordable Care Act was passed is it ensured that there were certain, that you had preventative care, that you had basic tests. And there are some junk plans that became available on the market that don't guarantee those basic preventative medicine plans that we think should be there. So it's a complicated subject, but it's to allow people to have access to a plan that they can afford that will protect them. But believe me, it's only the beginning. I have not stopped. I will be fighting for Medicare for All.
I was going to say, you were a co-author of the House Medicare for All legislation, and the Biden order is certainly not that. So how will you push that legislation forward through this session?
Well, we've been having discussions about, you know, how do you, what the first bills we've got to get through are the COVID relief bill, and then the next bill is going to be an infrastructure bill, but not, when you talk infrastructure, it's not, to quote a governor, fix the damn roads. But it's part of it in the bridges. But rural, we've got to get broadband into rural, into urban areas. We know we've got broken sewer and pipe systems. We know that our schools need to be invested in. That will be next. But we will be starting. I have already started meeting with my members of my committee and other members. We're going to be holding hearings, setting the groundwork. And then there are other things that we will be doing. There'll be things that we will be doing in the COVID package that will give some immediate relief to seniors, follow the money programs, how we can put more money for people on Medicaid to be able to stay at home and get have doctors and nurses visits, et cetera. You're going to see health care being done in many different ways over the course of the next 2 years.
On day one, President Biden signed the order to rejoin the Paris Climate Accord, and I don't need to tell you that environmental issues are highly important to the folks around here. He's put a halt to the Keystone Pipeline. He's taken aim at oil and gas leasing, put in place a policy to combat environmental racism. Clearly, President Biden wants environmental protections to be a hallmark of his administration. Now, he is taking some heat for the number of job losses that have and will take place in the short-term future. What is going to be the legislative direction to make sure the promise of more and better paying jobs will come by being proactive in addressing the climate crisis?
Well, that's going to be one of my top priorities. I will tell you that. We're going to be introducing legislation shortly that Chuck Schumer talked about. I'll be the lead sponsor of Thrive on the House side. But let me talk autos. I've been working very hard for the last 6 months with the auto industry. The auto
GM company made a big announcement yesterday.
Well, that was GM made the announcement. Other autos are, you know, moving in that direction and everybody's there. But we have to ensure that jobs aren't going to go away with that, that we're keeping jobs here. So as we move towards the electric vehicle, first of all, we have to build the electric vehicle infrastructure to support all of these electric vehicles, and that doesn't exist. Those will be jobs. But the battery production right now, 98% of it's overseas. We're going to bring that battery production to this country. And we need to make sure that we're building it here, we're developing the resources that they need to be developing it, and we're going to build those in our plant. So that as we are moving towards greener technology, we need to have incentives, we need to have requirements that those jobs are going to be here and that we're not shipping them overseas. And we're already seeing it now, you know, where we've become so dependent upon foreign countries. There's a chip issue. We're not building the chips in the U.S. We don't have control votes happening in other countries, and it may bring slow down or halt some of our domestic production. One of the things, David, that I want to look at, when we are looking at bids for contracts, government bids is where we start, but I think other people need to look at it, is our national security. And what capabilities do we need to keep here in the United States in terms of manufacturing to protect us and our national security? We saw it on PPE equipment that we didn't make it here, and what we were getting from other countries was not up to quality. Our electric generators are being built in China, and we don't know what's being built into them in terms of national security. Medicines are generic drugs. 80 to 90% of them are being made in other countries. We don't want to be dependent on other countries for medicines for us. So that's a real issue that I am going to talk about nonstop, and I'm going to be very focused on. I've already talked to Brian Deese, who's President Biden's economic director. I've talked to Jennifer Granholm on the battery piece. We're really working this. We need to bring these jobs home, and we need to protect our national security while we're doing it.
Well, thank you so much for the time today. We'll talk a little more impeachment when we get together next week, and I'll look forward to our conversation.
Great. Be safe.
That is Debbie Dingell, and this is 89.1 WEMU-FM and HD1 Ypsilanti.